Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Deploy the Garrison. As almost always, I'm your host, Chris. Joining me tonight, we have Alan. How are you?
I'm doing all right. A lot better than last week. Last week sucked.
Yeah, well. And Zach, you're back as well. How are you?
The hour's approaching. I've got to reach my prime and show you the passage of time. I need a montage.
Yeah, the Ewoks are being painted as we chat. So, it's going well for everyone, I think.
Yeah, somehow. So you remember how I was playing the 12-act version and it had, like, I think 4 squads of Ewoks? Somehow I thought those 4 were painted. And only 2 of them were painted. So I was like, yeah, I did my prime. No. Like, oh, yeah, I can do, like, 3 to 5 squads, easy peasy. No, it's 6 squads. And I haven't painted the heroes yet.
Oh, it'll be fine. They'll go quick. And if you're not painting at 4 a.m. of the night of a tournament, are you really tournamenting?
So my work, we have our insurance discount. We're supposed to do all this stuff to, like, qualify for it. And one of the things that I usually don't do, and I do the other stuff, is take a vacation of at least 6 days.
Yeah.
And I might just be like, hey, so I know I said I was taking a half day Wednesday. I'm taking all of Tuesday and all of Wednesday off. My bad.
That'd be good. Just because it's fun. So I, massively unrelated, the two of you will probably understand the reference, but I had to paint Saint Celestine for Warhammer 40k for Ed Horn, who I do the Lack of Focus podcast with.
It looked pretty sharp, I have to say. I mean, you always paint good, so I mean, that's not really a surprise, but...
It's one of the models I've just not wanted to paint. I've had it in my house for over a year. And I just like, yeah, it'll be ready for a depth. Don't worry about it, man. Don't worry about it. It'll be done. And then I was like, ah, crap. I've got to paint this before a depth gone. So, I feel your pain, Zach. I feel the pain. Stupid.
My list is done because I painted it for, I did tweak it since Play the Garrison Open, but
I have a custom change to your list you need to make.
Okay. Drop all of the ATSTs, change it to Remnant.
Nope. This is simple. What you need to do is put capes on all your scouts.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's true. 100%. That's true. I mean, black, some yellow, put capes on them. Absolutely. For democracy. Oh, wait, but it's an empire. That doesn't work.
Yeah, the empire, they fight. Palpatine loves democracy. Those are his exact words.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Don't let
He also loves being the entirety of the Senate. Those are also his words.
Don't let the rogue podcasts tell you otherwise. The illegal broadcasts.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Look at Miranda.
Getting distracted with Helldivers is
the TLDR. A little terrorist, and now she flies a TIE fighter. They let her in the box. They let the little princess in the box.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
There's like one person who listens to this because they play X-Wing and they miss me, and they'll know. Miranda really did just walk by. She's.
I know. We can all see her. It's just great, great audio-only experience. Look at my cat.
She's so sweet. I'll post pictures in the Dice 8 Discord for everyone.
You should. Yeah. I'll have a Miranda channel for you. You can have it, you know. Maybe that could be Patreon only. I'll put it in a Patreon zone.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, Patreon only cat channel.
Miranda.
We'll do all cats. I have a cat. You'll get to meet him.
He's you can only friendly. Post in all caps in all cat channel. I'm there so you go. Funny. Just kill me. Release me from this pain. So tonight we have a little bit of Officer's Mess for myself and Alan. Played a game. Alan showed me how GTS works. So that was fun. We have some Inquisitors to talk about, which Alan was just showing off how nice they look when you chop off the swirly bits.
Yep. Yeah. Not a fan of the swirly bits. Yeah. Audio only. Seven Sister has like these molded swoosh things. It's supposed to indicate that her lightsaber's spinning, and I just...
We definitely spoke about it when we previewed them. Mm. And seeing you holding yours up to a camera, I think it's nice with a queen aesthetic. But in my head, I think it's because that's how I'm used to Star Wars Legion lightsabers looking. If everyone had motion effect, I think it would be fine. Sure. But because those are the only two, so yeah.
Well, yeah, it's kind of weird because like they even in Shatterpoint where they did a whole revamp ground up of all of these miniatures, I don't think they have the motion effects in those either, which is it's just weird. I don't know. I didn't like it. It didn't fit with like anything else, and I didn't want to have to try and paint it. So, yep. Picked up Fifth Brother and Seventh Sister, and they're pretty straightforward to put together. It'll be a nice break after Ewoks and B1s and all the annoying things that people put together. It's, you know, two models, you put them together, pretty straightforward.
So I've been talking myself into dropping Bossk from my Scarif list. And then I'm like, well, that could give me points for one of the Inquisitors. But then I'm like, oh, they weren't in the movie. That's why you're dropping Boss, because he wasn't in the movie. So you can't put Inquisitor in. I'm like, well, Vader was there. So maybe in my head canon, he could have sent one of the Inquisitors to like bully Krennic as well. So now I'm like, or I could buy more Death Troopers. So
I think Death Troopers are the answer.
I talked about it last year, and it didn't show up, and I thought it was a real good list. There was the, it was a Vader gun line with Death Troopers, but it had Binox in every slot. It had a Scout Trooper squad with Binox, and I think two Death Troopers, Vader, and then it had a Core Trooper with Binox, and then I believe it was a Ruth. But it was like, oh yeah, no matter what you pull, you can generate aims for your gun line.
I suppose so, but I wouldn't put him on the Death Troopers because
no, the Death Troopers,
like, they're going to be selfish with them.
There was a scout squad that was
Okay.
One of the variations of a Scarif list I was working at was adding in a roof just to make Zach proud, and then using the extra points to bulk out my two sniper teams to full squads.
That's an Imperial officer, by the way, listeners.
I mean, just because I'm not down with Flamingo.
Ruthless Commander.
Look, I like the nickname Ruth, but you know, we should clarify once in a while.
Yeah, we should.
It's a lot better than what it used to be. So,
anyway, so back to me thinking about adding in an Inquisitor because that's what we're currently talking about. And I don't want us to, you know, whack too much focus. That's a different show.
Yep, wrong podcast.
I already know which one I'm thinking, like leaning more towards. But if you're only going to take one, which one do you take?
I have to pull the stats up again.
For me, it's easy. It's Seven Sister.
I think Seven Sister is probably the right answer if you're only taking one.
I agree with that. The reason why for me is if you're only taking one, it's a little utility piece, and it is just that extra piece that she's got jump. She's courage 3. Sorry.
And she should have force push.
Yeah. And she'll have force push up. It's basically that she's, you know, Empire lists used to take Boba Fett for that kind of thing. And I just feel like you take her for that same role. It's kind of my take, at least. You know, if you want Whisper, some kind of melee linebacker, then you take, Royal Guard instead. I know, Princess. How could Dan?
So, do you want me to talk you through why I was going Fifth Brother? Because obviously, now you've both said Seventh Sister, I was obviously going to say Fifth Brother. The extra 5 points differential between the two of them allows me to take the upgrade to turn off Force Powers.
Sure.
Yeah,
if you want the gap in my list that I have. Is 120 points. So I don't get it if I take Seventh Sister. And then the extra health, knowing that my opponent probably doesn't want to shoot him too much to trigger Enraged.
Yeah.
See, for me, the extra health is just with jump, it's easier to hide her behind things.
Yeah.
Extra health is you can ensure, it's easier to ensure not getting shot on the way in.
Oh, but I want her to give him the opportunity to shoot him so I can have charge when I go in.
I mean, that's fair. They're different pieces, is the thing. I just think that, especially if you're just like putting one in and splashing it, you know, because like I said, for me, I had all these Imperialists where I was like, I just need to squeeze like a playmaker in, and like I could put Boba or Cat in, but like not taking their cards feels bad, and you know they're very demanding. You know, like some of the lists.
The other one I thought that. I think I prefer the fifth brother command card to the seventh sister one? So let me double check to make sure I'm not just making stuff up. I care not for your struggles actually works pretty well in my Imperial, in my Scarif list, because I get Dauntless on the troopers, and obviously I'm piling on suppression onto myself and stuff as well with Krennic cards. So that's fair.
And you still get the three orders out at, what is that, range five?
Range five.
I mean, so yeah, I'm just going to order whoever I want right now, and they get Dauntless, which is pretty good. Dauntless is stable, red dice, right?
Red dice for suppression, yeah. Seventh Sister cards are still really good.
No, it's not. Dauntless is after you rally if you are suppressed but not panicked, you can gain the suppression to perform a free move.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's just as good.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like extra compel.
Yeah.
The other thing is, so I think... I think unexpected but unwelcome, the free recover is really good.
Yep.
So the problem with all of the other cards is I feel like I want to take both of them to get the value.
Yeah.
I think was pretty good. But
yeah, that's the thing. I think they're all quotes and I get unexpected but not unwelcome. I think I'd be willing to play that on just Seven Sister, right? Like playing Ahsoka for a bit.
Yeah.
Force user without. I have played, you know.
Yeah.
She's in the lines, and maybe I'm handing out one other order. I felt fine just to get that recover for the force push sometimes.
Yeah, they're interesting. I do like both. I think you can quite easily. There's a bunch of double bounty lists that I think can go to just Inquisitorious lists and do well.
Or just, you know, one bounty, one Inquisitor, because like Bosk and... The IGs, I think, play pretty well with them because they are a little more timing independent. They only have the one card that they want.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything to add, Owen, for Inquisitors?
No, not really. I mean, they're high on my list of what I want to play to branch out after burning myself out on Imperial armor.
Yeah.
Because I've wanted to switch and look at doing Jedi, and that's what my plan was after the Deploy the Garrison Open, was to switch to learning how to play Jedi some. So they're like Vader, budget Jedi.
Fifth brother, seventh sister, just whole hog. Actually, three activation, Palpatine in the...
So I've seen that, the Palp, Vader, and then the two Inquisitors. I've seen that, and it's like, that's a bit much. I'm actually looking at Kallus and then...
I mean, if you want the extra lightsaber, take Gideon and take Operative Vader.
Oh my gosh. No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So I'm looking at Kallus and then Fifth Brother, Seventh Sister, going for like a Rebels themed. I'm trying to pick a themed army here. You know, because you like themed armies. So Op Vader would fit in there.
Alan anymore. You're ruining him.
I think Kallus, Fifth Brother, Seventh Sister would be pretty neat to play with. So that's probably something in that vein is what I'm looking at. That or the like the middle management that we talked about months ago. So Gideon and Krennic.
Well, you'll be happy to know that you can't do Palpatine, Gideon with Darksaber, Operative Vader, Seventh Fist and Fifth Brother, because you can't take three naked stormtroopers.
You don't have enough points. Yeah.
You're at like 830 points, man. Why, AMG? Why?
You know what's weird?
Why do you hate fun?
I didn't need you to read that off to know that. I was like... Yeah, that's a lot. That doesn't fit.
Yeah.
It's because AMG hates fun. That's why. I mean, I think that it would be atrociously bad. Because
I think they hate
all
NPEs.
Of them want command cards.
I think they hate NPEs, including ones for yourself. They're saving you from yourself.
It was like one of those lists where nobody's happy playing it.
If you just front me 27 points, right? I think it'll be okay.
I mean, look, if we want to try it, and you give me the same extra points.
Fine. Like, Gideon doesn't count. I could get sniper teams to bulk out my activations now. Yeah. I'll be like 7x. It's fine.
oh, man.
So back on topic, I actually have played a bunch of games since you last heard me talk. It's great.
Yeah.
So I managed to play a game with my 501st list. and I don't own clones anymore. That's how hard I lost that game. So,
oh no.
No, I was saying to the guys,
see, this is what theme gets you.
I don't even think it was it 100%. This was me not discussing the intent of a game with my opponent and agreeing on a social contract before we started playing. Because he wanted tournament practice. I brought a lighter list and deployed to roll dice. And he brought a tournament list and deployed to win. So, yeah, that went away.
What was your tournament list?
He was running Moff Gideon, Darksaber.
Oh, did he have Dark
Troopers? It was Remnant, yeah. It was.
Are you saying Dark Troopers are really fun to play against if you're unprepared, Chris?
I was prepared. I had a bunch of range 4 impact. Dark Troopers were literally the only thing that almost cost him the game if he misplayed. Because if I kill them, I win. But yeah, it was more of three squads of Death Troopers with HH-12s and transponders that just nuked me in the opening engagement were the actual problem. No, we were playing Sabotage, the Moisture Evaporators. And obviously, you must have read your primer about how to be good at that mission, Zach.
Yep, which is I know you didn't read it because the first time I sent it to you, I forgot a full paragraph and you didn't notice.
It was the last paragraph, which didn't add anything, whatever. Oh, wow. But there is an article about Sabotage of Moisture Evaporators on a Sentry Box's blog. Should read it. It's great. So the game was going to be a draw on BPs because I deployed them back in. We were playing what's the scout one? Advanced positions. Yeah, we're playing advanced positions, so we could deploy them really deep in the table edges, far away from each other. We both basically got all of them tapped or untapped turn one, turn two, and it was going to come down to kill points, basically. He killed an AT-RT and a sniper team, and then I was like, right, Brian, I've seen you started moving damaged units away from me. Is this a tournament game that you're playing? Because if it is, we should stop now, and I'll walk you through why you've already won. Because he was going to play Moment of Consideration as his turn three command card, which is a fire support one.
Yep.
Which meant that I would have got the drop on his Dark Troopers when he only had five wounds left in the unit. If I then kill that unit, I'm now ahead on points, and he has to play into me, and I can pull back. If he plays, you have something I need, you have something I want, and just flies them into a far corner where I can't get them, he's already won. Because he can heal all of his other units. He's got at least one med droid in there to kind of keep him topped up as he runs away. So we kind of talked it through. It was like, look, if you play that card, you probably still win, but you've given me a chance. If you play, pick your unit up before I get to roll any dice and remove it from the game effectively, you've won. I have no play. So it was like, yeah, that's right. And then we called it there because it didn't want to play out. And quite right, I think this is the correct decision on his point. I'm not salty about it at all. He didn't want to play out playing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it wasn't
you want to reinforce the correct strategy.
Yeah.
Which made a good practice.
Yeah. So we called a game there. Then I got to play a game where one of my friends wanted to take his Geonosian list. And I was like, oh, I was going to play my new super secret separatist army that I bought when I decided that I was out on clones. Oh, yeah. I suppose I should touch on that, right? So I just didn't feel like I enjoyed playing the clones. I feel like to maximize them and get the potential out of them, it just feels like I'm playing a less fun Empire list.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I like playing Empire. I like what they do. I don't need a less fun version of that. So I was immediately out, and that allowed me to buy some Separatists. And I had Grievous and a bunch. I've got like lots of B1s from core sets and stuff like that, and Droidekas and all of the stuff that everyone has if you buy Clone Wars core sets or whatever. But it meant that I couldn't play Separatist because he was going to play him. So I took the Kallus double IG list that I wanted to play, Kallus double IG and triple Dewback list that Zach keeps telling me to change. And I keep saying, but if you change that, Zach, it's no longer a Kallus double IG triple Jubite list.
If you change any points, it's no longer the exact 800 points.
Oh, no, I mean, we can move stuff around, but changing one of the IGs into a good bounty hunter means it's not double IGs. And it was really good fun. That was awesome to play. We played Hostage, and Jubaks are cheating on Hostage. They're fun. Rapid Reinforced Jubaks are even more cheating on Hostage. So that's even more fun. Having both IGs when he's only got Poggle and Sunfac as his characters meant I got to pick whichever one I wanted for IG 11. So I went for Pierce, which I think was the right choice. Because then he's range 4 attack with Gunslinger's Pierce 1. So I was just putting out wounds all day long. And yeah, like we were playing Hostage, and the game, we tidied up before the game was done, but it was heading towards a 6-0 on Hostage. Because I had both bounties, both hostages, and both in my deployment zone. So that was very one-sided. We discussed it. Chris put he put the hostage unit as a unit of naked Gene Oceans, so he had mobility with the rest of his list. But I was like, why didn't you pick a unit of B2s to be the hostage carrier? Because they can kind of shrug off a bit more on the way out. And it was like, oh, I wanted to rapid reinforce the B2s into a better position to kind of threaten you. And like, I think any other mission, I think that's right. But with Hostage, I don't think you can have a 4-wound white dice save unit be a hostage carrier, especially against Jubaks, which are just going to spur attack and mess your day up.
Seems like a recipe for a bad time.
I should clarify as well that my dice were absolutely on fire. Like, Kalos just rolled crits. I think he got 10 crits out of 12 dice. Yeah, it was just crazy, like, on fire. But yeah, the only game left, Alan, was you teaching me how to play on TTS.
Yeah, so I taught you how to play TTS, so Chris knows how to play on TTS now, and that's all that was remarkable about that game.
Yeah, all that was remarkable. I mean, I didn't know that ATSTs actually had Space Marine Power Armor saves, you know, Surgeon Red saves.
Yep.
Yeah, it was, that's true. It was fun. All right, so your you Magna were playing Guard your... Did, I was going to say, Guard we should talk too. About my list, yeah. I mean, so, my Magna Guard were at least red to start.
Yeah, that's fair. Well. That's fair.
So I ran my version of BX Force, I suppose, which
it's
is
really impressive because we had Tyler on. He talked all about it. It's a great episode, good detail, great thought behind everything. And Chris was like, nah.
No, I mean,
no, he just threw out half of it. He just threw out half of it. He's like, I mean, you know what? Okay, this part's good, and I'm just gonna do what I want with the other half.
No, that's not true. I took there's only like 2 units different. So I've got less activations because I went 4 units of Magnas, all with Rocket Launcher, and then 3 units of BXs with snipers and shields and transponders. Yep. And then I've got Kalani, and it's 800 points, it's 8 activations, and my bag's easy. My learning how AI works is easy because every unit has got the same move dodge for AI. So it's basically my training wheels into how droids work in any way, shape, or form list.
All right, that's a fair point. I just had to bust your chops.
No, it's fine. And the secret sauce of the list is it's actually 2 lists in one, because it's really easy to say, you see Kalani, that's actually Kraken. You see those Magna Guard, they actually all just have extra bodies. And then the BXs, they all have swords instead of shields. And then it's just a crazy combat army that runs at you, which is even more fun. What's not to like about that? If any of these eight units get to you, it's like, well, what Wookiees, you think you're good? I mean, well, Wookiees probably win. It's fine. But only because Yoda's
in Wookiees still are good. Because you can't, I don't think you can use the shields in melee, can you?
You don't have the shields if you want the swords.
Oh, that's right. It takes the same slot. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But again, charge and better combat.
People want to take the swords to hedge, but I'm like, but then you give me, you know, like part of that is there's so much firepower and it's so hard to get it to dip off.
I should say this isn't about shooting anymore. There's no firepower.
Oh no, no. I'm just this is broadly. This is a bigger conversation.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of insight I have about, you know, sometimes you take variety and it helps you hedge for different circumstances, but sometimes you get a machine that's greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
And that's what all shields give you is like. You just,
I mean, so it's the objectively correct choice if you're running experimental droids. I think objectively it's correct. The only time I would say is when you're a moron like myself, but you know what, those surge tokens don't clear.
Melee and you can stack them,
then you can have the turn where your entire army charges speed three forwards with charge because you spend all of the surges for extra move in that turn. It's great. What's not to love?
This is something people won't hear me say often, but I mean, Chris, you're not wrong, like, for thinking about it. Melee SKUs are fun. Like, and it's, you know, it's certainly a theme that of, like, some of the lists you've enjoyed, and I mean, frankly, I've enjoyed too.
I mean, I will definitely play it at some point. I'm not going to say I'm going to play it more than, like, a handful of times in my entire life, but I'll have the list is there already, you know what I mean? It's already done. So why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yep.
We played Breakthrough hemmed in. You were hemmed in.
I was blue on hemmed in.
It was 45 positions. I forgot how cover works. I was looking at TTS going, I don't know what all of this stuff is. So I put my barricades in a terrible position. It was great. I shot AGSTs a lot, and then it didn't die. And then I shot them a bit more. And then it did die at the end, and I won.
Yep.
I think that's fine, right?
That about covers it, yeah. Realistically, so because I agree with Fake Evan that we shouldn't be blaming dice, there was a lot of weird swingy dice, but I think the core problem that I had is that I engaged you far too soon with my ATSDs.
Yeah, so we discussed aggressive. It in the past. I think your ATSTs were better off guarding your deployment zone, and you did the exact right thing with your infantry. If I try and split up to try and work on your infantry, that's when you come in and punish me.
That's when I jump in and just murder whatever's going after my infantry. Yeah. But otherwise, yeah, I think I just stay back and plink, plink, plink until maybe end of round four, and then I can make a dash for it if I feel like it. But
I mean, I think I got to a succinct ish for me way of trying to encourage you about that, and that was looking at the extra dice. So this is probably going to be one you want to listen in on, Zach, just to see if you agree or want to call me a moron. It's going to be great. I'm excited. All right. So Alan's AGSTs are kind of where I would lean as well now, after we've been chatting about it for a few episodes, obviously, where he's got main cannon, then mortar and grenades.
So the build I prescribed.
Yeah. I'm in agreement. I think that's right.
Yeah. And that's where I've landed as well. So yes, Zach, you were correct. I think after just trying the different iterations, like basically I either need to be at standoff range where you're only at four, or, you know, because the base is big enough, I could, if I'm exactly at four, I can speed two and be at two.
Yeah. Like
if I need to, I could jump into two and just punish if I have to.
Yeah.
But having the mortar lets me stand off more effectively.
Yeah.
And that helps, I think, preserve my hit points. Because, I mean, the ATSDs, I don't think ever will make it to the end game most of the time. I might have one left at the end of the game, but I need them to survive long enough to either pin down my opponent or kill enough of their army that it doesn't matter.
Their Alva strikes so hard that the end game is a fairy tale anyway.
Correct.
That's the thing. We're kind of, so I'm trying to get him to lean away from looking at the Alpha Strike numbers and more into what's going to be coming back. Because we were talking about, it's like double rainbow plus two white. And if I'm in heavy cover, you know, moving from range four into range two to negate that heavy cover is realistically probably giving you two and a half more wounds. I can't remember what math.
I think that was about what we came up with.
Yeah, you're getting like 2.5 more extra. Yeah, you're getting about 2.5 extra hits,
right?
Which go to saves, but by doing that, you're moving into range two, which, like, for my list, you've moved into range 3 for the BXs, so you've given me 8 extra white dice.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And you've moved into range 2 of my Magnas, which is giving me 10 extra black. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 4 so more black and 4 more white, and then you know you add your extra black white, you're throwing 12 dice at me or more.
The only thing I think that you particularly have to think about, where like if you're just trading shots at range 2, you might be upset, is Black Suns, because like yes, you know,
well they have a lot of impact too. I think Black Suns are in the same category as these Magna Guards. I don't want to be range 2 of these Magna Guards unless I can just delete it in one turn.
Yeah. But I think
when he has 4 of them, I can't do that.
Yeah. It's more that you need to assess. You can't just look at how much extra damage you're going to output. You've got to look at how many dice extra you're giving your opponents. Even Rebels, which have got a nice like range 5 FD, that if you move in and you're giving them, rather than just the what's the heavy on the Rebel CMO veterans.
It's 4 white dice with critical 2.
Yeah, but then if you get into range 3, which you have to get to range 2, suddenly you might have given 2 squads range 3 on you.
Well, and so that was the part where like I didn't like the range 3 guns, because most things fight really really good at range 3. You know, all your troopers with heavy squads fight really good at range 3. There's some heroes or specialists or whatever that fight good at range 2. Where like, you know, clones in particular, you don't want to fight a clone army at range 3, even with ATSTs.
But
if you need to start killing them and you can take away their cover at range 2, like they aren't spiking at range 2 the way you are.
Right. Yeah, I think switching and adding the mortars has opened a lot more conservative level of play that will preserve my ATST wounds towards the end of the game, which I'm excited to see how that pans out. We've got the Legion, we've got a Swiss tournament on Thursday. That's going to be 4 rounds, and then it's shaping up to be 4 rounds for the main event on Friday, so it's pretty exciting.
So just before we move on to our main topic, which is going to be us actually like talking more about worlds, I just wanted to talk about the transient properties of UFC math. How obviously Zach beat me to be crowned for champion, then Alan beat Zach to take the crown, and then I beat Alan. So Chris on top, right? Yeah, we're all in agreement. So we can move on to main topic now. Sorry, we've run out of time for Officer's Mess. We're going to move on to main topic now.
Crazy.
So,
before we get too
deep, I will say all those games though that have the transient property are played in person.
You know, you've got to make do with what you can. It's nothing.
The TTS games with Zach, they don't count. The ones on the table, they count. The ones that on his table with all you, that counts.
I win count. Yeah, but no, I mean, I think we got. I mean, it took us like 2 days over the space of. It took us 10 days over 2 evenings to play the actual game out. Like we would have gone to time, and you probably would have been one ahead at time at the point it was called.
But we wanted to see what would happen, so we played it out, and I think it's a good experience to see what's happening.
I hope that it kind of helped that mindset shift. I do think you need it, because it was the same kind of feel I got when you were playing at the deployment of Garrison Open. You get a little bit hypey, and I think just reining that impulse to have the Invictus.
Every game I've lost so far with the Tempest, it is because I get way too aggressive too fast, and then my ATSTs burn down faster than I'm expecting. Because realistically, if they've got a lot of crit generation, they just fold. They're not tough. They just have armor and a lot of wounds.
I stopped counting at 26 to take down that first ATST.
Sure. But again, the spiky dice is kind of
weird. No, I know. Like, I'm just saying.
Completely unrealistic. That ATST should have died on that first turn. 100%.
The counterpoint is
it shouldn't have been there. That ATST should not have been there. The dice were crazy.
Because you get that first dice roll where you save like 5 of 6 or I think it was like 2 or 3 or whatever the first one was. You're like, yeah, I only took one wound from his first two squads. He's only got 6 activations left. There's no way you can kill it now. It's like, dude, there's 5 more turns left.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And the ATSTs, I need to have all 3, ideally, 3 of them healthy by the end of turn 3. If I got all 3 ATSTs going into turn 4, I think I'm in a good position.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll throw it over to Zach while he introduces us to the main topic today. So, Zach, you wanted to have a bit of an Adepticon, like, predictions, world predictions, how we think people are going to do, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, do you want to open with anything? Any, like, are you going to put a big all-in on anything straight out of the gates?
Boy,
Is it just Luke Cook all the way? Like, all of my credits are betting on Luke and I'm done, you know?
Well, I'm scared. My gut tells me that this is the year that a Euro wins and sends us into an Age of Darkness.
oh, my. And then, that's a take.
Yeah. I just, you know, we had it in X-Wing. So that's kind of my prediction. No, boy. Maybe it's just because I've been talking to Endless so much about playing Ewoks that I'm, like, completely sold that the French dude that has been running them is going to be our guy.
Yeah. I think I'd also, be okay with that.
I got the hot intel that I'm so sorry. I can't remember if it's Lila or Layla. Isn't going?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, at least I don't have to worry about the spam of the I can't remember the name of them now.
Black Sun
yeah. Enforcer spam.
Or Pink Suns.
Pink Suns. Yeah, I don't have to worry about Pink Suns.
She's converted other people, so it's definitely possible that you'll see more of that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, one of the Separatist lists that I'm making is double Black Sun, double Persuaders. So, you know.
I've definitely seen variants of that floating around. No, I mean, I just sort of, I lean towards, it feels like there's a lot of movement towards these melee SKUs, and I don't think anyone's wrong to do them. I hope it's not, I'm just actively rooting against this, the paint dry clones.
Yeah, it's going to be tricky because there are a lot of clones. Like, I can pull up, I can't see any of the list yet. They haven't released them, but they do have the faction breakdown is open.
Oh, really?
So, Vamp, and I'll pull it up.
How does it factor in the stuff that doesn't import into Game Uplink yet?
Oh, stop it. Not doing it. Veto.
I had to manually import my list the other day, so. You know, you get the email, and it's got the link, and then you realize you're not signed in. So you have to go sign in and do it over again.
That sounds like user error.
No, there's no amount of user skill that will get that site to have cookies right yet.
Anyway, awesome. So the statistics so far, as of right now, is Republic at the second largest pie, part of the pie. We have...
Empire still highest?
Empire is 71. Republic is 70. 39 rebels, 14 mercenaries, and it's cut off for separatists. So separatists is probably just under rebels, so probably the 35-ish.
I mean, so the funniest time. I'll go ahead.
I was going to say, do we want to jump into, like, move from players to factions? Because I'm all in on, I think, that this is a remnant. I think this is the one. Well, Dark Troopers take
Remnant
it.
Remnant and Dark Troopers take it?
Yeah.
I can see it.
It's weird because I don't believe in Empire unless it's Remnant. Even if, I mean, like I said, I think there's something with an Inquisitor and a Bounty Hunter. But then I start thinking about how you round that list out and you run a gun line and I'm like, oh, you have to shoot into clones. Get out of here. You're not doing it. Like the one list if I didn't have X-Wing in my life, as my main game, like if I were only going in on Legion, I would be really tempted to try, and maybe I would hate it, but on paper that Tempest Force I sent you, Alan, with the two ATSTs and four snipers feels really versatile and good against a variety of expected matchups.
So I hear you. My experience with Tempest so far is, at least the way that I play it, and maybe I need to change the way that I play it at some point, but having one less ATST, that, like, two ATSTs is way easier to deal with than three.
Yeah, fair.
And I think that having the snipers would help in a couple of the matchups that I had, but they also would hurt me in some of the other ones.
I mean, I think for Tempest, so it's my thoughts have been that I would either go for one ATST or three, if that makes any sense. I would either want to wean into the other stuff that it offers or just do what Alan's doing. I don't know how much value there is with the two. Like, obviously, if we return to a normal armor meta kind of thing, two ATSTs is still two ATSTs.
Yeah.
But I think in a world where people are prepping for three, I don't know how much value above and beyond one, if that makes any sense at all.
Kind of. Yeah. I think that the sniper teams help you a lot in those matches.
Yeah. I agree. There's definitely
value there.
I just
worry that even if you brought a saturation of snipers, I don't think that outweighs, because, you know, if you're going to do four snipers, it's probably better to do an Iden list where you do three snipers and Del. Like, that's probably a better four sniper list, because you get a bunch of other stuff with that.
I think Iden marksmanship still really good into a lot of stuff that exists at the moment as well.
It's the way that those lists lean into taking strike teams, which are so frail.
Yeah, so vulnerable.
I have the Commander Luke list that I need to play eventually with Chewbacca and Barrier and two sniper teams, and I'm like, you know, maybe then they're not just falling off the board on me. But I am really out of love with sniper teams these days. The funniest timeline would be if Blizzard Force won. I think that'd be the funniest.
The skew into the Death Troopers, and I got, you know, absolutely battered by it, so I'm going to be, like, tainted by that experience. But it all, like, that's very similar to a Remnant where I was looking at, like, using two and then other stuff, because I like more theme, obviously. But even using the two squads of Death Troopers was really good. Taking that to three, Triple HH12s tools you, like, immediately into, like, you can deal with the armor. That's no longer a concern because you've got
HH12. Got enough impact and dice that you just...
You've got HH12 specialist stormtrooper squad. You've got heal on your shore troopers. We were just there to, like, provide a little bit of healing, whatever. They're your button pusher. You've got a scout who, if you, like, whatever, he can be alive, it's fine. If you mess around with points, you can fit a T21 on the scouts, which is nice, because obviously they don't natively surge, so that critical two actually helps them a lot. But then three units of Death Troopers and a five-man Dark Trooper unit, just that's a lot to deal with for people. You can play a bunch of objectives, you outrange a lot of lists. That's where my money would be if someone's playing that well. I think that that can put enough pressure on the clones from the not ideal range band.
Yeah. If you can pressure the clones at range four, or you make them move, the clones are not happy. I mean, so with my Tempest list, all my objectives are mobile. I have to make them move, and they're not happy with those. Engaging them at range four, clones generally aren't happy. If they have DC-15s, and there's the arc snipers, then maybe, but I don't think they trade as well at range four.
I mean, not trade. Remember, you're trading into the range four suppression guns as well,
right?
So even with Yoda in there, it's going to add up. You're going to start taking a toll on them, and they've got surging red saves, right? They out save you, so. If you're in cover, they're in cover. You've got force barrier. They've got a better save overall. I feel like that's a good matchup into clones, and it also skews you, also protects you against the armor skew. Melee skew, Ewoks, I don't know if it kills them quick enough. I feel like it probably does okay. Like,
probably got enough time between dice and suppression. I think.
I mean, I feel like that's a better chance's job, right?
Yeah.
There's boy.
The frag launcher, ass cannon them. It's fine.
Just delete one around.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Too right. I mean, you're shooting twice. It's fine. You'll be dead. Yeah. Oh, you'll be careful.
I don't know.
You'll be dead.
Yeah. I like the Dark Troopers definitely have a better melee option than my ATSTs did, but yeah, if you run breakthrough against the Ewoks, like you just don't have enough bodies. You don't have enough bodies. At least in my experience, I played one test game against the 14 Ewoks and it went poorly for me. I also tried, like, early back in January, I tried a double Dark Remnant against the Obi-Wan list.
I think you've got to go single Dark. I think you need the extra rare. That's what I'm saying. I think that specifically three Death Troopers is the only way. That's the Remnant list I'm giving it to. I'm not double Dark. I don't think this is good. No, I think that triple Death Troopers plays better into double Darks than double Darks plays into it. Because, again, you've also screwed for armor.
If you got that mirror. Yeah, that's a fair point. The double Dark Gav might have some play. I don't know. That's kind of one of those weird lists.
That's really fun, but I think
a really skewy list that, like, you have an answer for it or you don't, but in a one and done format, like, I don't know.
Yeah, if you get caught by it, but what else do we have for Empire? So Blizzard, Remnant.
I think Blizzard, I think it comes down to the Battle Forces. It's going to be Blizzard, Remnant, and then maybe Tempest. I'm biased in that because I want to do well, and I'm running Tempest. I think that
the prominence of clones pushes down the Empire Generalist list. Empire Core, it all does the same thing. It shoots or fulfills your requirement, except in the case of Blizzard Force, where it fulfills your requirement to have to take snow troopers in the list. And you don't want to shoot into, you don't want to shoot into BX Force with Empire Corps, and you don't want to shoot into clones with Empire Corps.
Yeah.
So that's kind of just what it comes down to. And it's like, okay, if you're just filling the minimum of core, it turns out there's other cooler options out there that play better and manage that better. So that's kind of where I'm at, like, with the Empire non-Battle Force list.
So the only thing I would jump in on, Zach, is do we think that double bounty offers enough people?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe I could be wrong, but it runs into, you know, it runs into the same problems, I think. Obviously, I could miss stuff. I'm the armchair here. You know, Luke Cook could just roll crits all the way to a win again. He has the ability to do it.
I think bounty is really interesting in that if you can play the bounty hunters safe enough, it ruins the people's day who want to go to kill points.
Well, so that's where the part of the problem is, right? Like, against some of the lists, like, you know, again, we talk about the clone balls. They're too defensive. Against some of the other lists, some of the battle forces, you don't have a target anyway. You know, against Ewoks, like, sure, you can go get Chewbacca or Wicket or whatever, but, like, you're gonna be usually at 10 activations or bringing sniper teams, heaven forbid. You know, which I, like I said earlier, just don't like where sniper teams are at. So, you know, you're so far down on Ewoks that, like, if you're actively hunting the heroes, or I just hang my heroes back in back cap and I can stay ahead of you like that. And, you know, if you get aggressive to get in there, guess what I have a lot of around all my heroes? Melee Ewoks, the bounty hunters don't have great, they don't have the force push to get out of jail free against melee threats. You know, Bubba's got the flamer, which is pretty nice, but he's only got that twice.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you can match up dodge and everything, you know, so maybe I'll be wrong, but I'm just explaining, like, why I'm kind of...
No, I get it. I mean, that answers my question. It's fine.
It's not unlike why I'm kind of down on General Rebels, because I think Rebels have that even more exaggerated. They have a little bit more dynamic heroes, and they have buses to make that, you know, because there was the guy who, was it Brian that played the double bus list out in the World Team Championships? Like, There's some Rebels have some, you know, off kilter aggressive stuff. I was messing around with the double bust Boba list before. I was just like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah,
it's probably the first thing. Maybe I even pack it for a side game on a Sunday, depending on how much room I have in my car. But like, the buses open up things for Rebel Corps that Empire, you know, the Gav is much more expensive and wants to shoot.
I mean, they do have a flyer.
True.
It'd be fine.
It's still more expensive. You can't do the big line of sight blocker game.
Yeah. Do you think that's the other thing that Rebels have other than Bright Tree? Are we gonna see Echo Base doing well, or have people figured that out now?
If someone made like the top eight with Taunts, by someone, I guess I just mean Ryan Stilowski.
It's probably just Ryan is the one that would be able to do that. I don't think a lot of people have put the work in to be able to be good enough with that list. I don't know. That one's a tricky one.
My gut
reaction on who's going to take, like, it's going to be a Battle Force Worlds. I think it's
feels that way.
Everything that we're going to see at the top is going to be either in a Battle Force or it's going to be some kind of clone ball, just because there's so many clone balls that are becoming
four balls go over to 501st.
Sure. I that's what I'm saying. It's either going to be a Battle Force. It's either Battle Force or a clone ball. One of the two. Just because the Battle Forces are so popular right now. We might get a Ahsoka, like Cassian Ahsoka. Maybe.
I'd be surprised. To reference Fake Evan again. He had something pretty funny when he was doing his songs. And it's like, oh, you realize you bring this gun line and you're shooting into people, and then you're just really sad about it after all.
Yep. So just miserable. That's my hot take. And I think like experimental droids has a chance to be enough of a dark horse.
Yeah.
I think it's picking it up enough speed that I think it'll go deep.
I think, my one thought is that, you go down to, it's a really good list, but people who have the skill and the reps don't believe it, or feel like the burden of execution, or they like the theme better of playing clones, because you still get a Yoda or an Anakin as a hero playmaker in clones, where you don't in BX Force.
I don't know how much you need. I don't think you need the hero piece at all in BX Force. I think they've done a really, really good job of showing how good the units can be with that, like that Battle Force ability adds a lot of versatility in how you use it. Like the aim tokens to move, the extra dice, like anyone can be a threat at any time, because you know, just adding two dice into a pool is good, giving them extra aims. You know, there's a lot there. I do think that you're right in that. Do I agree? Because obviously I played one game, and obviously Alan wasn't taking it mega seriously, but it didn't, like, my path felt really obvious all the way through of my decision tree. Sorry, not my path. It's like, okay, this unit's died, now I have to do it this way. Like, this unit's died, now my only... And it was very easy to play. It wasn't taxing at all. I didn't need to use a lot of brain power to play the list, which is an advantage over that long of an event, I think. But
I also played a tournament. It was going to be three rounds, ended up only being two rounds. But the amount of options and efficiency you get from being able to spend the tokens to do these other effects is really flexible and really powerful. And I think people have been sleeping on it for a while, that I think it has a good chance that people who have been practicing it have a good chance to go far. That's my argument.
I ran the Rocky Mountain Open last weekend, I think it was now. And Patrick took that with BX4, well, with experimental droids. He was running Kalani. This is the one I ran up in Calgary.
Oh.
We ended up, it was supposed to be 12, but because we had some incremental weather, so we only got 10 in the end. Would have been 11 Well, it would have been 13 if I'd have forced myself to play, down to 10, because I didn't want to make it odd numbers. But he won that one. I can't remember which commander he had, but he was running a couple units of B2s, and then some B1s and BXs. And yeah, because I think we were having this discussion in the chat, weren't we, about the B2s being an option rather than the Magnus.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say it was okay. Walkie played really well. He had some tough opponents. He played against Mark, who won the other event that we played, that I did. He won with Commander Luke at my big store championships that I ran. So he had some hard competition, and I screwed him over with the appearance. He got the purr down, which obviously in a 3-round event with 10 players could have meant that it was impossible for him to win, even if he went undefeated.
Oof.
If you're only doing 3 rounds. I mean, someone had to get the purr down, you know what I mean? It was nothing I could do. But yeah, he managed to win anyway, just because of the way the other games went. Basically, one of the purr ups won rather than the purr down winning, which kind of fixed it all, so it was fine. But yeah, that was one with the experimental droids, and his list was completely different to it. Even if I was looking at like a serious list, he's just miles away from what I was thinking and still seemed really solid, really strong. But yeah, I suppose that just takes us on to mercenaries. Are we just looking Black Sun still for Shadow Collective? Pike Dodge Spam is well and truly put to bed now, right?
I don't think so. I think that might actually still have a little bit of play. Just because it's just tanky. Just being tanky is probably a decent strat. I mean, we've seen it with clones. The clones have been super tanky. And arguably, once you get the dodge engine running for the vigilance capo pikes, I think there's enough range 4 and dodge spam shenanigans that you can pull that. I think it's got enough efficiency to have legs.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, how many mercenaries do we think we're going to see in day 2?
Maybe one.
There we go. This is what we're doing, isn't it? Are we going to just transpose this breakdown exactly, or do we think it's going to shift? Like, if we do this faction breakdown of what it's working, I think it will shift
where a lot of these Empire and Republics, they're just not going to cut it, and it's probably going to be down to like half is going to be Empire Republic, and then a smattering of the others.
Yeah, I've got one to put myself on the line here. You ready?
Oh boy, here we go.
I think the biggest shift in your pie chart when we do it for day 2 is going to be with Separatists.
I think I agree. That's what I'm saying. I think experimental droids is going to push people.
The ratio of Republic will stay the same. Empire will go down. Mercenaries will go down. Rebels might stay the same or go up a little. But I reckon that Separatists go up the most.
That's a pretty fair question, right? Like, of the stuff that people are bringing, and I think Separatists is probably going to outperform the most if I had to wait to guess.
I'm not going to say Separatists. I'm going to say experimental droids. I don't think anything else.
I mean,
maybe an invasion force, because I want double AATs to be good, but I don't think it's really going to happen.
Grievous can do work. But I don't think Grievous is up.
There might be a Geos list, because Geos being new enough to catch enough people off guard to make it to day 2.
I think that they are a very low for a very high ceiling, but they also have a high floor. Is that what,
you have to be good with them, but if you're good with them, they're great type of thing.
They die is the problem.
Made of paper.
Yeah.
And they don't have the bodies like a B1 does.
Yeah. But I mean, I've got 3 boxes and the characters, so I'm looking forward to... I've got a bunch of stuff. I'm really excited to do some Separatisting now. I've kind of hadn't really looked into it too much, because I only had Grievous and B1s, and I was like, whatever. But dumping the clones and moving on with my life. I'm determined I am going to paint I'm going to finish off the Scarif list because there's a couple of bits of touch up I need to do on that painting. Then I'm going to paint my Callus double IG triple ton list because that's been spoken about too much and needs some table time.
Triple do back, not ton.
Not ton. Do back. Sorry. Yeah. Thank you.
I've got three do backs. I'm tempted to do something similar with Inquisitors, like double Inquisitor triple do back is intriguing.
The reason hoping to chat to Zach about this, but I wasn't going to do it on this show because I feel like we had a very distinct topic, but I'm just going to touch on it and we'll throw it out there and you guys can think about what I'm saying.
We'll
start closing. I'll save it for a close, but has anyone got anything else before we move on to closing?
Very short, non-Ewok Rebels in for a bad time.
I think so.
I've got one. Okay. Are we going to see any Chewie AT-STs do well? Or is it all going to be Chewbacca on foot?
Think so.
I'm really happy. I'm really happy how wrong we were, because I think we all said that AT-ST Chewbacca was really, really good. And I think he is, but I don't think he's good.
The closest he's not to right, as good as the 14 act. I think the closest was me.
I said both Chewbaccas are really good.
Yeah.
That was me. That's
the one thing I get. The problem is that, like, for me anyway, I can say that looking at the card for AT-ST Chewbacca, he is really good. Looking at the list that is able to take him, he doesn't offer, the only armor. Is an easy kill, you know what I mean? Like, if you want him to do anything, you've got to break incognito. If you don't want him to do anything, why are you spending all of those points?
Yep.
You know what I mean? So,
I will say,
I'm determined.
My one bold take, real quick. I do think a Rebel Boba list will, I don't know, I'm going to go with be the best non, all right, this is a little specific. Be the best non Battle Force Rebel list will be something with Rebel Boba in it, and in my prediction, it will miss the cut on tiebreakers.
Very specific.
Yep.
I think I do want to say that if it is Battle Force Worlds, it makes me really happy. Okay. I'm glad that, to me, that's mission accomplished for AMG. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, if people are playing what I feel like a themed list and look like Star Wars on the table.
Yes.
That's what I want Legion to feel like when I see it.
And they're all very distinct themes. And I think it's,
I think each
Battle Force is distinct both from like the rest of their factions, but they're also very clearly the biggest exception is maybe Experimental Droids doesn't have a very clear identity, just because there's a lot of variation that you have in there. But at the same time,
by AMG's own admission with Experimental Droids, it was literally, I think I'm going to get the quote wrong because it's been a while, but they kind of just said, we had these cool mechanics we wanted to try. We didn't have a theme we were following. It was just, you know, we wanted to put this droid set together.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely fine to be able to have that experimental design space. But everything else is very, very themey, and it's great.
I will say, so Zach said a Boba Fett. So I'm going to say that my stupid prediction is going to be that Fluttercraft will place higher than Saber Tanks.
I don't think that's stupid. I think the Wookiee Force is really good. We didn't touch on it. That's the one tough thing. There's a lot of lists that feel really good that, like, you know, if they just got good matchups along the way.
I think the second the Wookiees hit Tempest, they probably lose. Because I think they share a lot of objectives that we want to do and can't burn down the...
I think they don't... So I was thinking about that after I played the Ewoks. I think they just don't have the massive bodies that the Ewoks have to be able to stand up to the punishment.
That might be table dependent, though. Like,
yeah, that's
if they can hide on the tables, obviously it's against AT-STs as we discussed. But I don't know.
It's such a cop out, but Legion tables not being standard, which is, it's entertaining. It probably makes it a more fun game. But like, I do sometimes, you know, part of the reason why Legion is my side game is I start really thinking about acting like Legion's a competitive game, like a, you know, very, you know, like a oh yeah, Legion's like poker, and I feel silly sometimes. Like I'm, you know, it's great that you do see like the same people win and do well a lot. And I don't think that's a coincidence, but I also think that, like, I mean, I've said it a billion times, all Legion is a small sample size.
I mean, yeah. All miniatures games, small sample size in reality. But yeah, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole because I'm trying to get us to a close. So,
yep. I think it's going to be a Battle Force, and more specifically, I think Experimental Droids has a pretty good chance at it.
Oh yeah, so I'm the last list that gave me a shoo-in is my bet for a win. The last list.
No, not your list.
The list that I gave Alan a shoo-in with. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I don't think your list is gonna do it, but I think the BX Force is gonna do it. Just not yours.
I don't think we'll see my list at Worlds. I don't think I was brave enough.
Foolish enough. Brave but foolish.
Look, man, copy pasta. It's a way to build all lists, right? Yeah, I think if one's good, surely four is better.
And that seems like a future topic.
Yeah. So, yeah, that kind of brings us to the closing. And the thing that I was going to tease was specifically about, I don't know, where were we? What were we talking about? Have I completely lost it now?
Spam units.
No, it was we were talking about was it Bubba? Rebel Bubba.
Yeah, Rebel Bubba.
Yeah. So I think I was gonna talk about I think I could be completely wrong now, so sorry. Sorry guys, I've completely derailed everything. Show's ruined, so unprofessional. You have no idea how good a job I did hosting this show. You will never ever know, and I've ruined it all now. Just looking competent.
You could just edit it out. It's fine.
No,
I believe in you.
Sounds like too much effort. So specifically, I was going to talk about, I think, the double IGs and the range four on them and how that kind of interacts compared to the other bounty hunters. And I think that's a really good edge that they have in that kind of matchup. When we were talking about, you were saying you had drew back someone we'll thinking about running it and the melee thing, I think that the IGs actually do a lot, and that's why I was gonna challenging Zach on it, because obviously Zach keeps saying to change one of the IGs into something else, and I think that the gunslinger or the range control that they can do, I think there's a bunch of stuff that you can get with both of them working together. And it may be specifically in that list where I have some range and a strong melee threat as well, and they can sit and occupy all of those range bands and do well, that I feel like it kind of works. But yeah, that's what I was going to kind of tease.
Kind of covering the dewbacks as they come in.
Yeah, like you can do it from distance, you can get in close, you can use the command card to shoot everything at range one. You know, there's a bunch of weird and wonderful stuff, but I definitely think like it's the interactions of all of the lists. So that's what we can kind of talk about, is where things kind of fit in, where it only works because it's a very specific piece in the machine.
Yeah.
Like does that only work because I've got contingencies, blah, blah, blah.
The sum being greater than the total of the parts or whatever type of thing.
Yeah. Sure. And we've got that as a future topic.
I think that's why the Battle Forces are so good. It's just everything just kind of clicks together. But
yeah, it's that one. And then we had we were going to talk about units that you would splash in compared to units that you would spam. So we've got a few interesting topics coming up. We still have bounty hunters to cover. We still have missions to cover, and we'll have post Adepticon to cover soon.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm so hyped to go to Adepticon again, first gaming convention of any type. I'm excited. I'm excited to go. I'm excited to hang out with you guys again. So
I'm hyped. Don't be blind.